Today's Unseminary podcast episode is brought to you by Regal Theater Church, the only theater company providing full-service consultation for churches wanting to create dynamic worship services in familiar, culturally relevant venues, the local movie theater, with lots of parking, spacious lobbies, plenty of bathrooms, and a perfect view of the screen from a comfortable seat. Regal theaters are ideal for church plants and multi-sites. Learn more at regaltheaterchurch.com or call their incredible team at 1-800-792-8244 today.
Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. Are you looking for practical ministry help to drive your ministry further, faster? Have a sinking feeling that your ministry training didn't prepare you for the real world? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in pursuit of stuff that we wish they had taught in seminary. Buckle up and let's get started with this week's Unseminary Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. My name is Rich, the host around these parts. Thank you so much for taking time out to be on and listen in on today's episode. We know you've got a lot going on and we're just honored that you would take some time out to listen in. Today, I'm excited to have Bob Smith from us. Bob is at 242 Church, a fantastic church. If you're not following them, you really should. Welcome to the show, Bob.
How you doing? I'm glad to be here.
Ah, this is going to be great. I'm so glad to have you here. So 242 Church, a great church, started in 2005, is really rapidly growing, a couple campuses. I think you may be eyeing more in the future, about 4,000 people in attendance. So it's a significant church. Bob, why don't you tell us about your role there at 242?
My role has just evolved. I was the, for the last 5 years, I was the campus pastor for the largest campus in Brighton. Mm-hmm. We're about 4,200 people at this campus. And I had always been part of the leadership team when mm-hmm. the church started, but I was I had a 27-year career prior to going into ministry. Mm-hmm. My role has just evolved to focus mostly on business and development. Yep. The development side is going to be new church work, new residence planting, internships, mm-hmm. Missions, and things like that. So that's what I'll be focusing on going forward in the future.
Cool. Why don't we start? Give us a sense of 242. If people that don't know the ministry, give us kind of a flavor for the church there.
Well, I think what we try to do the most is to be able to focus on people who are far from God. I would mm-hmm. say that probably about 50% of the people who attend here on the weekend have no real relationship to Jesus Christ yet. Wow, they're spiritually curious. They're just trying to figure things out. So we really focus on the mission more mm-hmm. than we ever do people's preferences. And mm-hmm. when I say preferences, is there's a lot of churches out there that if someone comes and says, hey, you know, we want to do a women's ministry, we want to do this ministry, we want to do that. If it doesn't fit the ideal that we want to value people on the fringe more than people at the core, we're probably not going to end up doing it. So mm. we try to be a really simple church, mm. weekend experiences and small groups. That's about the two main things that we do.
Hmm. Now, how are you able to kind of keep that focus? I think a lot of churches talk about simple church, but at a church of your size, you know, how are you able to do that? What are some of the kind of mechanisms that you've been able to do that as a church?
Well, I think our lead team stays pretty laser focused on those two core values and mm. to be able to work through those. And I think we have internal checks and balances with our team. Something sounds like it's going beyond what we try to do. Mm-hmm. The other guys on the team will just start beginning to shut that conversation down and just be able to guide it back to. And one of the things that really helps us is that we try to think like a new church plant, mm. even though we've been around for 10 years. Mm. So it's always getting back to what does it look like to multiply more churches, start churches, grow the church, reach people who are far from God, as opposed to just transfer growth or anything else. Mm-hmm. Love if all those people would stay at the churches that they're at and just you send those other folks to us, or so we can maybe just equip or work together to reach those people and grow the kingdom. So we talk about that all the time, and we're pretty laser focused on it. So we kind of check ourselves on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, when you know, how are you kind of structured from a leadership point of view? You talked about the lead team. How does that work from a governance point of view? How are you making decisions within, within 242?
Yeah, so we're a staff-led church, mm-hmm. As most of the large churches are today. Mm-hmm. We have elders, but they really just they guard the senior pastor. Mm-hmm. They're his accountability team and things like that. They mm-hmm. might be some of the first to hear what's going on. Mm-hmm. But they don't have a vote. Their role is really just to come alongside the senior guy and just and guard him, mm-hmm. guard his heart, mm-hmm. and guard the mission. Mm-hmm. Our lead team is comprised of five guys, mm-hmm. the senior pastor, who acts as the CEO. Mm-hmm. This is our lead board, our board of the church. Mm-hmm. I act as a treasurer. Mm-hmm. And we have, besides that, I have a teaching pastor who leads the teaching teams mm-hmm. and creative arts. Then I have a campus guy who looks after our campuses and small groups. Then I have a guy who does family ministry who we mm-hmm. just kind of talk about. He does diapers to diplomas.
And that's a great phrase.
Where he lives. So,
like that.
And what's really nice is that the lead team functions church-wide. As the leadership, so we don't have campus pastors on our team and things like that who are, you know, positioning themselves to take care of their campus in the best way. So everybody on the lead team is looking after all the campuses church-wide equally. So we have a stake in how everybody succeeds, not just one campus versus another.
Interesting. Now, at the, you know, at that volunteer level, there may be some people that are listening in that are saying, that's interesting about the way you have your kind of the volunteer board structuring to kind of guard, you know, the senior pastor. And I know that that's very similar how we're structured. We're staff led as well. But can you kind of dig into that? Has that what it's always been like that at 242 right from the beginning? You know, what has that process been like for you?
Yeah, when we started and we launched about 10 years ago, we had a management team that was made up of myself, the senior pastor, and some guys outside, some senior other pastors from other churches and things like that, who just kind of gave advice and counsel as we launched. It took us about 6.5-7 years before we started to appoint elders. Yep. And at that time, we just kind of allowed our management team, those senior guys from other churches, to begin to drop off as new guys came on from within our church. But the idea is that we wanted people who were had proven this to be with us. And that takes a while to do as a church evolves and things like that. One of the best things, I have two guys on the team who are former elders from previous churches who would never accept again a traditional elder's role. So when we told them what we're looking for specifically, they're really excited about that because I'm a recovering elder myself. And that's just a tough role, especially if you're trying to lead through a committee and there's a senior guy in a church who's struggling. And, you know, he's got to be more of an employee than actually the visionary. And I think that this structure really allows the senior guy to feel comfortable about, you know, sharing what's going on in his life, you know, and that accountability where often when you have an eldership that is looking at the staff as their employees, as an elder-led church, if you start, you know, talking about the chinks in your armor and where things aren't going well, some of those guys are thinking, well, that may not be long-term, you know, is more an employment issue rather than a spiritual issue.
Right.
So I think the way we do it really helps us stay on the spiritual side of things.
Absolutely.
And the accountability side.
Absolutely. Then what is the kind of planning process? Like, how are you developing plans as on the staff side of that equation? And what does that look like? You know, what's the rhythm that you're in there? And how do you interact with them? Obviously, you said, hey, they're kind of some of the first people to be informed of that. What does that process look like for you?
For the elder team,
I would say on the staff side, from a kind of leadership side, with the staff side,
So lead team, we meet together every week. Mm-hmm. We have an all staff meeting once a month with all the staff of the church. About 40-50 people show up, and but what you'll find us doing a lot of is really trying to, you know, and it's easy to say to do this, just to empower the different ministry teams, whether it's a campus level, community life, which will be small groups, family ministries, arts, and empowering them to come up with stuff themselves and be entrepreneurial. But yet, in a structure like ours, the conflict that arises is that we are we're a very central controlled church, so we're more of a we're not a our campuses aren't franchised; they're more company stores. So there's high degrees of control, and campuses basically just affect the content that we give them. They execute that content, but it's really important that as we look at what our we grew probably on the strength of the entrepreneurship of our senior pastor and the lead team in the first 5 years. But what grew you the first 5 years in an entrepreneurial spirit is not going to grow you the next 5 years. So we're trying to figure out and work to create systems where we can give opportunities to be an entrepreneur at the lower levels of community life, family ministry, children's ministry, arts, and things like that. but yet still trying to control the high value central so that we can have great content and excellent music and just that high level of execution. So we're trying to, you know, figure that out and begin to push a lot of that content down. And I think mostly what we're trying to do is establish goals at the central level,
right?
That we then give the staff liberty to begin to come out and figure out what to do. And we encourage, you know, cross-pollinization between the campuses. So if you're a small group guy in Ann Arbor and you're a small group guy in Brighton, like, you're talking about trying to accomplish the same things. Mm-hmm. Because we don't want to create so many different programs. We want to have the best programs. Mm-hmm. But yet you still have to allow experimentation to find what those best programs are. Mm-hmm. So you got to allow people to fail. You got to allow some risk. And you got to put money behind it. Mm-hmm. Even though I might think to myself, like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But let's give it a fly and see how it works.
Absolutely. Obviously, a big part of an empowered system like that is, you know, finding great people. What are you looking for as you're trying to find people to kind of come on your team? What are some of those kind of attributes, you know, the kind of people you're trying to bring on board?
Yeah, that's a great question. One of the things that we've been talking a lot is about cultural fit. Mm. A lot of other people call that chemistry.
Yeah.
But I think chemistry is more of a, like, do I like the guys?
Right.
Do I like the gals who are coming on and things like that? Mm-hmm. But when you start getting larger and you get more than 50 staff members and things like that, I think cultural fit is probably one of the best things you can begin to look at, whether or not they hustle. One of my family ministry guy will often say he'll go on a walk with prospective staff in an interview and walk them across the building and things like that. Mm-hmm. If they're not keeping pace with him or they're not fast walkers, that's a clue for him. And it's just one of the clues and things like that. But
that's a great idea. A similar one that I've heard another leader say is whenever they interview a staff, they always walk them out to their car after their interview and take a look inside the person's car. And because if the inside of their car is a complete mess, they may not be a fit for the culture there. They may, if they can't keep their car clean, you know, maybe
that's
a good person, which I thought that's good.
I might steal that as a former cop. I used to look at a lot of cars. So that's all good. I enjoy that. Look for evidence.
Yeah, exactly.
So one of the things that we try to think about is it depends on the department somebody's going into.
Right.
If it's a department right now of like our community life and our small groups, they're a little bit more bureaucratic and they have a lot of tasks they have to accomplish as they're coaching small group leaders and network leaders and things like that. So there's a lot of benchmarks that they have to be able to hit and things like that. Mm-hmm. So there's probably less opportunity to be entrepreneurial. Mm-hmm. So would I look for an entrepreneur to be in that role right now? Probably not. I'm going to look for someone who can execute, operationally, someone who understands maybe a more pragmatic approach, if that's what we're trying to do.
Right.
Our family ministries are having great success finding a little bit more entrepreneurial in our youth ministries and our children, trying to, you know, as they begin to figure out what they're going forward. And an example is we have a one-to-one special needs ministry
so cool.
that was birthed out of the children's program and just a need. And that was just a great opportunity that they saw that we didn't see to connect to part of our community that we were missing. So we really kind of, you know, narrow this down. And one of the things, too, that we find in our organization is we probably don't succeed well enough to mentor in a position to say, you need to do this and this and this to progress. So I'll probably be looking more for someone who's a self-starter, high initiative, and things like that. Mm-hmm. That way, if it's not my culture right now in the church and we're not doing this well, I'm not going to just staff with somebody who needs a lot of that.
Right.
Someone who needs to be able to be guided more. I'll probably look more for a self-starter and someone who can just, you know, figuring out what he needs to do or she needs to do without constant input.
Very cool. Well, this has been a great conversation so far. You know, when you think about kind of governance and how your team structure fits together, is there anything else you'd like to share, you know, with our listeners before we move on with the rest of the episode?
You know, as we talk governance, one of the really interesting things about 242 is I don't even have an employee handbook. I have no vacation time. I have no sick time. So we're at some point, I mean, I have a draft book ready to go when we figure out like this is really important. But just the culture that not that we're a startup, because mm-hmm. We probably don't have that level of freedom and experimentation yet.
Right.
But the idea that a high level of trust that we want to be able to work as hard as what you need to work, and rest as much as what you need to rest.
Interesting.
You know, often we try and when we tell people, well, you can take up to 3 weeks vacation or something like that. Just take it when you need it, and they'll come back, and they won't. If we watch, they won't take it. So we have to encourage people to take that time off.
Interesting.
And really, because it's just a different animal for a lot of our folks. They work really hard. We've been in a season of busyness mm-hmm. for 10 years. There's a lot of churches, there's an ebb and flow and things like right. that, and we don't seem to have that yet, which is it's a kingdom problem, but mm-hmm. it's still a problem you got to look after.
This is the Unseminary Podcast, stuff you wish they taught in seminary.
We're going to turn to the lightning round. That's the part of the episode where we ask similar questions to people who are on the show today. Super excited to have Bob Smith with us from 242 Community Church. Great church. You need to really be following this church if you aren't yet. So what's an online resource, Bob, that you're using these days that's helping you out?
There's a Google group for executive pastors mm-hmm. in our tribe that has about 120 folks on it. Mm-hmm. And I use that all the time, about every single day that there's a question that fires up, I'll fire off a question to them and I'll get a bunch of information back.
Very cool. What's a book you've read in the last 6 months that's influencing the way you're thinking or shaping your ministry?
The book that I read at least once a year, especially when I mentor guys, mm-hmm. Is The Cost of Discipleship by Dietrich okay. Bonhoeffer.
Yep.
And it's a really hard read,
yep.
but it's an incredible, worthwhile. And I've read it 5 or 6 times.
Mm.
And I think I need to read it times.
Yeah, exactly. Very cool. What's another ministry you're looking to that, is inspiring you these days?
Christ Church in the Valley out in Phoenix, we talked to them quite a bit. We actually went down to New Spring, Perry Noble's church, and took a leadership retreat down there, and they treated us like kings, and it was just a great time. They're probably a decade ahead of us in a number of different ways, but we were able to learn from that, mm-hmm. and I have contacts in a few other churches that I'm a big fan of benchmarking. All yep. my staff will always tell you that if they come to me with an issue, I'll say, where have you looked before? Find right. out who's doing it well. Let's figure that out. Because right. I don't believe in anything new out there.
Right, exactly. Very cool. Good. Who's a leader? If you could get 15 minutes with them, a leader that's alive today that you'd love to spend some time with them, who would that be and why?
This might sound a little strange, but it'd be General Petraeus.
Interesting. United okay.
States Army, retired. He's one of these guys that who rose to a position of incredible influence and dominance in the U.S. Army mm-hmm. and did incredible things in his career, if you look at his entire mm-hmm. career, mm-hmm. and then he fell so quickly.
Right.
And I would just want to, first, honor what he did. He needs to be remembered for what he's done.
Right.
But not what he did.
Right.
But I'd love to learn from that, because in the middle of just great success and accolades, mm-hmm. he just fell in an instant. And I think there's a story there that senior guys and gals need to understand of how that happened.
That's very good. Very good. All right. Well, when you're having fun, you just want to kick back, relax a little bit. I'm sure leading at the church there obviously is demanding. What do you do just for fun, just to kind of kick back and relax?
I love to ride my motorcycle.
Oh, nice. Very cool.
Yeah.
It's a good time of year to do the last ride. Have you got the last ride in yet? Are you still a few minutes?
This weekend.
Nice.
This weekend. It better happen.
Great. Well, thanks, Bob. I really appreciate you being on the show today. If people want to get in touch with you or the church, what's the best way for them to do that?
They can just, the website is 242community.com. Mm-hmm. And my email is bob.smith@242community.com.
Great. Give me a shout. That's fantastic. Thanks, Bob, for being on the show today.
All right, very good.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's Unseminary Podcast. Don't be shy. We'd love to connect. Check out Unseminary Inbox. You can sign up at unseminary.com, and we'll send you helpful training resources every week. Plus, you'll gain immediate access to our exclusive members area with tons of resources you can use. Connect with Rich on Twitter. at Rich Birch or through email, rich@unseminary.com. Don't forget to check out the show notes for this episode at unseminary.com. It includes links to what we talked about today and more. Leave a comment. We'd love to hear from you. Did you enjoy today's episode? Drop by iTunes and leave a review. Thanks again for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Join us next week when we'll learn more stuff we wish they taught in seminary.